The words for lighting our chalice come from Singing the Living Tradition, reading number 599 by Sikh guru Teg Bahadur. Why do you go to the church in search of the divine? God lives in all and abides in you too. As fragrance dwells in a flower or reflection in a mirror, so the divine dwells inside everything. Seek, therefore, in your own heart. Please join Alice Schumann Johnson in our musical response.
May the light which is before you nurture and sustain the light within you.
As Unitarian Universalists, we find wisdom and inspiration in many places. Jewish and Christian scriptures and other sacred texts, the arts, science, nature, our own experiences. Our traditions keep us open to revelation from many sources. This morning's wisdom comes from the long tradition of African trickster stories about Anansi the spider, from a collection titled The Pineapple Child and Other Tales from the Ashanti by Peggy Arpaia. In this story, Anansi was already very clever, but he wanted more knowledge. So he decided to gather all the wisdom he could find and keep it in a safe place. Soon, Anansi collected all of the wisdom found throughout the world and sealed it inside of a pot. However, he was still concerned that it was not safe enough, so he secretly took the pot to a tall, thorny tree in the forest. His younger son, Intikuma, saw him go and followed him at some distance just to see what he was doing. Intikuma noticed the pot was much bigger than Anansi could handle. He couldn't hold it while trying to climb the tree. As a result, Anansi tied the pot in front of him and then resumed his attempt. Yet the pot still caused him to slip down the tree as he climbed. Intikuma laughed when he saw what Anansi was doing. "Why don't you tie the pot behind you and then you'll be able to grip the tree," he suggested. Anansi was so annoyed by his failed attempts and the realization that his child was right, that the pot slipped from his possession. The pot soon crashed to the ground, and all of the wisdom that the spider had stored inside of it spilled out of it. To make matters even worse, a storm arrived and caused a mighty rain throughout the forest. The deluge of rainwater covered the ground and washed the wisdom that had spilled away from them, and soon it spread throughout the entire world, ruining Anansi's plan and making his goal impossible. This angered the spider. Anansi then chased his son Intikuma home throughout the rain, but he soon came to an epiphany and accepted his loss once he finally caught up with his son. What is the use of all that wisdom if a young child still needs to put you right? Thus, Anansi failed to steal the world's wisdom that day, and instead, a little of it lives in everyone.
Thank you, Jan. So the first sermon I gave here at Reeb contained a quote from George Carlin. The topic was just about my own balancing of atheism within a religious tradition, and I found that his humor contained important thoughts and feelings that I wanted to share with the congregation. Carlin's humor, though, is sharp and it's pointed. I remember at one point someone describing him as a kind of mad prophet, proclaiming the truth with a capital T, but pretty much just seen as a funny man by most of society. So I wondered about this idea of wisdom that other people cannot see or that they only see as foolishness. There are historical figures and characters in literature that are court jesters. They're real people who are employed by powerful men to entertain them, but somehow they also manage to critique and challenge those same powerful people. When I first thought about what to write for today, it was the fall of last year. And since then, so much has happened. Even our way of gathering has changed radically. So I did buy these for today. Groucho Marx was one of our American fools. And then the Marx Brothers movies, Groucho and his brothers were always the cleverest people on the screen. Groucho Marx is famous for his funny jokes and quotes. One bit of wisdom from him is, outside of a dog, a book is a man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read. I hope that was funny. But another quote from this wise fool is this. I, not events, have the power to make me happy or unhappy today. I can choose which it shall be. Yesterday is dead. Tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. I have just one day, today, and I am going to be happy in it. So let's look at the fools or the tricksters, and let's see what wisdom they might have for us today. In history, there have been real court jesters or fools. They were a fixture in medieval and Renaissance society. There are many stories about these men and women and their purpose. Sometimes just to entertain, but sometimes it was to serve as the only voice that a king or queen would listen to. There is one story of a court jester who tricked his king into signing away the entire kingdom to the fool. He did this to teach his king to actually read what he was signing. Apparently, the king had a terrible habit of signing anything placed in front of him without reading it. In literature, this real historical figure becomes a character, and you can find him throughout Renaissance drama. The fool showed up in comedies, but also in tragedies. One of the most famous fool characters was in Shakespeare's tragic play, King Lear, and he was indeed the only character who was able to speak the truth in front of the bitter and increasingly insane king. And, believe it or not, the figure of the wise fool appears in myths and religions all over the world. Sometimes it is the trickster character like Anansi, a figure who behaves in foolish ways sometimes, but who ultimately teaches us wisdom. In the Christian tradition, there were fools for Christ, and in Buddhism, the Siddha, that's S-I-D-D-H-A, was a holy man or holy woman whose behavior made people in society look at them as crazy or foolish. So generally, a fool for Christ was a person who took the teachings of Jesus so literally that their behavior was at odds with society and with the power structure that was in place. Stories about the Franciscan monks include a story about Brother Juniper, a monk who behaved in foolish ways because he was so diligent in living a sacred life. He was a highly respected monk for his sincerity, but he also proved to be a handful for his superiors in the Franciscan order. He had an alarming habit of giving his own clothes away to people who needed them when he met them. According to franciscanmedia.org, another time Juniper had been commanded to quit giving part of his clothing to the half-naked people he met on the road. Desiring to obey his superior, Juniper once told a man in need that he couldn't give the man his tunic, but he wouldn't prevent the man from taking it either. In time, the friars learned not to leave anything lying around, for Juniper would probably give it away. So anyone who is able to subvert the instructions from their superiors in order to continue to do good deeds is far from stupid. Being foolish is not being dumb. They are wise in what it means to be compassionate and kind, and they are also wise in understanding how power works. Brother Juniper knew he could not disobey his superiors. He was not innocent to how the power was distributed in his order, but he also knew how to subvert that power. I can't give you my shirt, but I don't have to stop you from taking it from me, is a very smart strategy. In Buddhism, this wandering monk called a Siddha was believed to often have reached enlightenment. And part of the reason they reached enlightenment in their lifetimes was because they shunned the comfort of life in a house or a monastery and instead sought to find enlightenment wherever they were, whether it was in the middle of a forest or begging on a busy street corner. In Buddhist Door Global, Alistair Gornall writes about them, "Often these characters illustrate the benefits of detaching from the rules and regulations of society." He goes on to explain how powerful these figures can be for our understanding of spirituality and enlightenment. When the person who is enlightened cannot be found in a meditation center or a monastery, when you realize that the beggar on the street or the old hermit living in the woods is actually the best and most powerful teacher, you have to also understand that the sacred in our lives is not contained within the four walls of the appropriately designated building. Enlightenment becomes powerful if you start to see that its potential is found everywhere. Gornall also writes, "The Siddha tradition also provides a space for those who have been disenfranchised and abandoned by the mainstream. Religion is often seen as occupying the center ground of society. As a result, any charity work is considered to be outreach, a brief extension into unfamiliar and hostile areas. This Siddha form of Buddhism seeks to subvert the value of centers and constantly places itself on the outside. Its foundation and essence is with the underclass of society and always has been." So part of this crazy wisdom, this foolishness, is that it identifies and lives with the edges of society. There isn't any outreach to do because we are already out there. So speaking of outreach, I'm going to take a moment to tell a story about working on the April election. So when the pandemic started, I went to work. In fact, I went to work surrounded by about 30 people every day. On a typical day in the clerk's office, there would be about 7 people working in cubicles. And during a typical election, out of necessity, there are more people because we have help from hourly workers and volunteers. And as the pandemic started, more and more people were trying to figure out how to safely vote, how to make their voice heard without it being silenced because of illness. Ironically, that takes even more people working together to get the job done. We did our best to practice social distancing, but in the end, there was no guaranteed way to be safe. We didn't wear masks because there weren't any masks to wear yet. Many things have changed in our world in a short time. We have them now, but we didn't then. I remember at one point we received a box of protective stuff from someone who was being helpful. And when we opened it up, we saw that it was full of hairnets, which was a lovely thought, but not very helpful. So it was a great moment though to just sort of feel that. So once the dust had settled in our office, I turned back to the other large group in my life, Reeb, to do some catching up. And almost immediately I read the UUA president's message that we will be delaying in-person worship for a long time. At that point, it was for a full year. And it seemed really strange for a moment there. It was definitely the opposite message from what I had been hearing. I had been hearing that we're opening back up and we're at level 1 and it'll soon be level 2. And then 2 weeks after that, level 3, and soon we'll be back to normal. And what I heard instead from UUA President Reverend Susan Frederick Gray was a very stark and very refreshing look at reality. Part of her letter included talking about our abiding care and concern for the most vulnerable inside and outside our congregation, and about accessibility and inclusion for all of our members and friends to participate, regardless of their health status, their health vulnerability, or their basic abilities. And she also noted our recognition that we are part of an interdependent web, and as such, our risk-taking and our protective actions affect far more than just ourselves. And I deeply appreciate that she connects this decision directly with our seventh principle. So we are taking time to stand apart, not only from each other physically, but as a faith tradition, we are standing apart from other religions by maintaining our virtual services. Other religions have started in-person services already. And I think this is a form of foolish wisdom. Like a fool for Christ or the Buddha Siddha, we're not following the mainstream wisdom of our society. We are forging our own way. Others may look at us as overly worried or foolish in our rush to wait and our rush to be safe. But in terms of that, I'd like to leave you with two more quotes. One from Ray Bradbury. We're all fools, all the time. It's just, we're a different kind each day. We think, I'm not a fool today, I've learned my lesson. I was a fool yesterday, but not this morning. Then tomorrow we find out that yes, we were a fool today too. I think the only way we can grow and get on in this world is to accept the fact we're not perfect and live accordingly. And then from President Frederick Gray's letter, she wrote, our deep hope is that we as a country and as a world will not return to normal when the pandemic is over. And that may sound odd or foolish, but she continues, we seek to live into a new normal of more justice, more love, more equity, more sustainability, and more peace. So I say, let's be foolish and let's work towards this new normal. I really believe it's the wisest thing we can do. May it be so, and may we be so.
This congregation is committed to service to our community. So we give half of the unrestricted Sunday offering to local organizations whose work furthers our mission. This morning, our Share the Plate donations will go to the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness. This organization supports women to improve their health and quality of life and to disrupt the disparities that impact our health outcomes. Donations can be made by typing the link you see onto your screen or your web browser. The link will also be shared in chat. In the spirit of love, and for the continuing work of this congregation, we will now take the offering. For the gifts received and the gifts which we ourselves are, may we be truly grateful. Yet more than that, may we be committed to using these gifts to make a difference in the world, to increase love and justice, to decrease hatred and oppression, to expand beloved community, to share and to keep sharing as long as ever we can. Amen.
Know that just like our physical sanctuary, this virtual space through which we now connect is made sacred by our presence and our intentions. May we remember that we carry with us the power to make sacred space everywhere. This is our wisdom, and we carry it outwards into the world, greeting those who see foolishness with our compassion and our empathy. May we hold the love, the courage, and the strength that we learn and practice together and do everything we can to move them out into the world, knowing that we have enough, that we are enough. Go in peace, blessed be, and amen. And I invite you to extinguish your home chalice as I extinguish our Reeb chalice.